strong. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. But you know what? I got news. He does hold our hand. I said he holds our hand. Amen. Not just in the good times. Bad times, any type of situation that we might encounter, but there might arise in our life. Amen. How many knows that we can hold on to the nail-scarred hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you love him, give him one more hand clap of praise in this passage this morning. Amen. Praise God. Now put your hands together for all of our visitors and let them know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. My, it's been a glorious week, a wonderful week. Amen. God is good each and every day. No matter what the day faces, no matter what problems may arise in our life, it's still good to know the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the book of Isaiah. I just want to get right into the message. And just, as you're turning, I do want to make an announcement. We will not be having service this Wednesday night. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and I know a lot of people have plans to be out of town and all, and we've tried it in the past, and it's very difficult, I know, to try to come to church on a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. So we will not be having Wednesday night service this particular week, but we will be having our regular schedule the following weekend. All right. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, I want to focus our attention on a very familiar passage of Scripture beginning in the 28th verse. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. Again, from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, beginning with verse number 28. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It sounds good. The Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your word, how precious it is. Father, help us, God, to take this word to heart. Father, I pray for this congregation this morning, God, that we'll lay aside every weight this morning, God, and give our mind, our soul, and undivided attention to God, to what you would have us to hear. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, your servant. God is only a messenger, God, just an oracle that you might speak to us today. Father, if there's any needs in this house this morning, God, we know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We pray for those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who may be suffering, Father, but most of all, those who are lost and undone, have not accepted you. Lord, I pray that this be the day, God, that they invite you into their heart. Again, Lord, we just ask for the leadership of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them how much you love them. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And never ceases to amaze me. That's enough loving. All right, we'll save it. We'll continue it after service. Amen. Never ceases to amaze me when I tell somebody to turn and tell your neighbor how my love. There's always giggling. I don't know. I don't understand that giggling, but that whatever. When we turn to shake hands with somebody, there's always some giggling going on. Maybe that's because we're just giddy in our love one for another. That's what I'm going to see it as. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled "Walk On." Walk on. Lord just really kind of spoke to me in depth this week about that, and I know it's a familiar subject matter. And I know, you know, somebody once said, why don't y'all preach something else? I said, well, there ain't much else to preach except the Word of God. You know, my opinion ain't going to get you nowhere. Amen. My ideas and my ideology is not going to do anything for you. But the Word of God, amen, how many knows that'll see you through any problem? Amen. The Word of God is great. Amen. And there's constant subject matter about perseverance and about continuing steadfastness, being rooted and grounded. And all those things are wonderful, and they all coincide with the will of God. I don't believe he wants us to be wishy-washy. I don't believe he wants us to be up one day, down the next day, and in despair and all of these situations that arise, because we know that if we put our faith and trust in Almighty God, how many knows he's going to make a way? Amen. He's going to make his way, and I want to be submissive and obedient
to His way. I found out that sometimes my prayers are more my way, but by the time I get through praying, God's done changed my mind. Have anybody ever had God change your mind? And when He changes your mind, thank God He changes your heart, and then you begin to get in the right avenue and the right path, and you focus on the will of God rather than our own will. And God was dealing with me this particular week about this particular subject matter. And I read many, many scriptures pertaining to walking with Christ and walking with God and walking in His statutes and His precepts. And all of that's wonderful. But what He began to really convey to my spirit was a continuation. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to continue. It's not to the swiftest. Come on. But to him that endureth to the end. I started this walk, and I started this walk with great excitement, with great anticipation. I remember the night that the Lord saved my soul. I could not wait to get home, and I had to wait till I get home because when I got saved, we didn't have cell phones. Somebody say, bless his heart. Oh, come on. We didn't have cell phones, but I couldn't wait till I got home to begin to call my aunts and uncles and tell them that I'd got saved. The Lord saved my soul. I was so excited about that. And I thank God for that excitement and that anticipation and that fire that came with the infilling of God's Spirit. But how many knows that immediately after you get saved, come on, how many knows and understands we need to continue? Amen. We need to continue in the will of God and be just as excited today. And I often have to remind myself, I need to be just as excited today as the night that the Lord saved my soul. I need to be just as full of expectation, just as full of fire that I was that night when He washed my sins away. How many remembers? How many knows what I'm talking about? How many has had that born-again experience? Put your hands together. It's exciting. It's wonderful. But it's a continuation. We need to continue in the grace of God and in our walk with the Lord. Here the writer says He giveth power to the faint, to those that lose heart, to those who seemingly are not as strong as they want to be. But the Bible tells us that He gives those people power. And He also increases strength, not to them that have strength, but He increases strength to them that have no might. Now, God will increase our strength, but how many knows we're not talking about physical strength here? We're talking about spiritual strength. Spiritual strength that will cause us to have endurance. I want you to remember that word, endurance. Amen? Not just a flash in the pan, but endurance and working and working for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. I might kind of spill the beans a little bit, but there's going to be times when you don't feel like enduring. There's going to be times that I don't care how full of the Holy Ghost that you are, you're not going to feel about continuing. Because things around you are not really in a good matter, good situation, and things are coming at you from all ends, and all of a sudden you realize, you know, Lord, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. How many knows it's possible, though? And I got Bible for that. Because the things that are impossible for me to do, the things that are impossible for man, are made possible by God. How many knows that God can do anything? Amen. We need to endure. And He increases the strength to those who have no might. Others may be weary and fall. Can I tell you that there's a world full of weary people? You don't have to go very far to see people who are just burned out. People who are almost at the point of giving up and because they are placing their faith in things other than the Word of God. They're trying to endure situations by somebody else's opinion or by something that somebody told them or a book that they picked up that will cause them to get through troubled times. And I'm not saying there's not any good books out there, but I found one good book that beats every book that's out there. Amen. And I find strength in it. I find help in it. I find blessings in it. And I find instruction in it. And I'll put all those together and it'll get you through the weary times. It'll get you through the hard times. Amen? We need to walk on. We need to continue. But the Bible says, others, even the youth, shall faint and be weary. Even the young, amen, shall fall by the wayside. But they, everybody say they. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot of people that don't really want to be included. They want to be a part of they. But they don't want it noised abroad. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you that the church world has become sort of silent. We are the they that the writer was talking about. If you've been born again, if you've had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's come into your heart and washed away your sins, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to own up to it or not, you are part of they. And they that shall walk and not be weary, they shall run and not faint. Amen. The Bible tells us that we have strength when we become a child of God. They that wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now that wait, how many is familiar with wait? W-A-I-T. How many is married? Come on. Wait can sometimes be a little aggravating, a little impatient. Come on, man. How many times you looked at your watch when the lady's getting ready? Listen, I'm not going to jump on our women. I think some of you men need to spend as much time getting yourself ready, too. From the looks of some of us, amen. Maybe it'd do us good to spend a little more time in front of the mirror. That's not the kind of wait that He's talking about. No. This wait means a complete and absolute trust, respect, obedience, and the ability to lean on God. Amen. In every aspect of our life. Not just in decisions that we have to make. So many times we go for counsel only when we have a bad situation or a complex situation in our life. But you know what? I want to go to God on every little aspect of my life. God, am I doing, am I saying, am I being what You want me to be? If not, God, check me. Lord, I want to be submissive and obedient to Your will, Lord, because I've tried my will and my will doesn't always work. My will sometimes gets me in perplexity. Situation. But God, if I learn to wait on You, if I learn to lean on You, if I learn to put my faith and trust in You, Lord, then I know without a shadow of a doubt, God, that You will lead me through the valley. You'll take me through the storm. You'll take me through every circumstance, everything that comes against me, God. I've got something greater than the world could ever give me. I've got a relationship. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about a casual acquaintance. I'm talking about a true, born-again relationship with Jesus Christ who nailed my sins to the cross. Glory to God. And I need to wait on His guidance. I need to wait on His leadership. I need to trust in His voice. I've had folks say, how do you know Jesus is talking to me? So many times He's talking to you, you're just not listening. Come on, we don't listen intently to what God is trying to speak to us. Amen. God wants us and encourages us to continue. Turn to your neighbor and say, walk on. Walk on. Well, I tell you what, they had no problem whatsoever getting the children of Israel to walk on out of Egypt. Amen. Brother Billy, still in the bread business. I used to be in the bread business. We had a term, we called it the bread man's walk. You did not have time to mosey. How many knows, you Southerners know what mosey means, don't you? It means you're not in a hurry. You've got something to do, but you ain't really wanting to do it, so you mosey on over and do it. You can't do that in the bread business. You can't do that in any kind of vendor business. You got to go. You got to high step it. You got to get back. Somebody once told me, well, you know, can you talk to me? I said, yeah, if you can walk with me. I'll talk to you if you walk with me, but I got to get this bread. I got to get it on the shelf. Billy knows what I'm talking about. You got schedules to meet. You got deadlines. You got back doors that are closed on you. You got to do that bread man walk. Amen. You got to walk sometimes when you don't feel like it. Amen. Come on. Sometimes you do feel like it. I felt like it on Friday when payday came. I walked to get my check. Amen. I never backed up to it. I was glad to get it. Children of Israel, when they told them, hey, Pharaoh said, let them go. Glory to God. How many remember the night that Satan said, I gotta let him go? I got no hold on him any longer. Glory to God. I've held him for so long. He tried to come out from my bondage with his might and with his strength, but it didn't work. But tonight he got a hold of something in the altar that broke the chains, that set me free from bondage, that brought me out of Egypt. Glory to God. And set my feet on a solid rock. Glory to God. And he established my goings. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank God for freedom, amen, from sin's bondage. Well, the children of Israel, man, they was walking. They was getting it done until the first obstacle came up. Yeah. Then Pharaoh had a change of heart, and he starts to send his army and his chariots after the children of Israel. Man, and you got to understand, it wasn't just an obstacle of the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them, but they was kind of in a little bowl. They was kind of surrounded. Come on, anybody ever been there? I don't know which way to go. Amen. I don't know which way to turn. Somebody told me there ain't one way to go. Ain't one way to turn. That's up. Amen. That's where my strength comes. Amen. But glory to God, their steps begin to slow down when they got to the Red Sea. Come on, how many times our first obstacle after we've been born again? Our steps start to get a little bit slow. God, where are you? Why can't you help me now? But how many knows that God will never leave nor forsake us? Amen, and he just split the Red Sea so the children of Israel could walk forward. It's not the only time. Continue to be with them, even through the walls of Jericho, even through the many, many enemies that they encountered as they walked in the wilderness journey. But you think about it, you got to walk on. You got to keep on keeping on. Sometimes your steps may be slow, but can I tell you, that's all right. Slow steps, you're still making progress. Come on, it's not how fast we are. It's not how swift we can get through situations, but it's how much that we can endure those situations and endure those hardships and learn to wait on the Lord. Because they that wait on the Lord, amen, the Bible says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Glory to God. I remember as a young, I won't say boy, I'll say adolescent. All that means is a bigger boy. Not any smarter, just a bigger boy. When I was an adolescent, and Penny and I had just gotten married, which has nothing to do with whether I'm smart or not. I'm not trying to conject those together. Okay, so don't get me there. But we were living in the apartments over there, and my cousin Julius lived in the apartments, and he decided we wanted to do this running, jogging. Well, with him, it was walking. I said, come on, bro, let's jog. I was young then, and I'd turn around, he was still waddling. I don't know if it's walking or waddling, but he was, and I remember, you know, was going to walk or going to go over to the high school. It wasn't that far. We was going to go to the high school, go around the track. He never made it to the track. Somebody was out there, and he struck up a conversation. So I was running around the track and then came back. But he was a little bit older than me. And now I understand that. I understand that. Then I was an adolescent. You know, more of that adrenaline flowing in your body, but it don't reach your brain. You know what I'm talking about? You say things like, what's this? Or I can do that. But when you become mature, I'm thinking, why run to the track to do laps around the track? Why don't I drive over to the track and walk around it? Walk around it. Still getting it done. Can I tell you that's a comical analogy? But can I tell you it applies to many people? We get born again, we take off. I mean, spiritually. volunteering for everything in the world. I'll do this, I'll do that. But then what happens? We realize that we've kind of overstepped our ability. And instead of slowing down and walking with God, sometimes we just sit down. Oh, me. We just quit. I can't do all this. I wanted to, but I just can't get it done. That's the problem, not the problem. That's the issue, I guess, with being a young convert, a young Christian. Sometimes we bite off more than we can chew. I believe in persevering. I believe in a continuation. I believe in growing in Christ. I believe in, you know, taking on these things, but do it as we walk and going to gain ground. Let me tell you something. You can run and gain a little bit of ground, or you can walk and gain a whole lot of ground. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? We got to walk on. Come on, we got to walk on whether we feel like it or not. We got to walk on whether people appreciate it or not. We got to walk on whether it's politically correct or not. We got to walk on in spite of what's going on around us. We got to walk on in spite of the ridicule. We got to walk on in spite of what our neighbor says or what everybody else is doing. I can't speak for everybody else, but I got to stand before the judgment seat of God. I got to continue. I got to walk on. I got to keep on keeping on. Walk on. Walk on, children. Walk on. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. If you'll turn there with me. Beginning in verse number 8. Verse 7 tells us we've got a treasure. How many thank God for the treasure? The treasure that is within us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He knows the power that God gives us to continue is not within us. It's from Him. Amen. He gives us strength. The song that I said, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I don't even want to walk without Him holding my hand and leading me and guiding me, because I've tried to walk without God and it got me into a lot of trouble. Amen. It got me into a lot of pain and a lot of agony. But thank God He loved me enough to pull me out of that. In 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse number 8 of the 4th chapter, we are troubled on every side. Amen. Can I get a witness? You ever seen such trouble? Come on. Come on. Be truthful with me, yeah? Some of you people as old as I am, have you ever seen so much trouble? Amen. Is it just me that's seeing all this trouble? I mean, you can't turn on the radio, the telephone, the television. You can't without reading all of this trouble and all of this anger and all of this fighting and all of this quarreling that's going on all around us. And the Bible knew that. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Come on. How many has heard the saying, let the water run off of me like it does a duck's back? You know what? Let this trouble run off of me. We can be troubled on every side, amen, but not distressed. I don't believe God's people need to be distressed, because we have hope, amen, and that hope is not in us. That hope is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed. Sure, it's confusing. A lot of perplexing situations that are happening around us, even in life itself, even on our jobs, and all of these situations. And the Bible knew that, and the writer said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Come on. I was thinking, as God was speaking to me, and, you know, we can experience trouble, but walk on. That means we can have trouble, but don't quit. We can have trouble, but don't give up. We're not shouldn't be distressed, because I know that God will see us through trouble. Amen. We can be perplexed. We can be confused. We can be at a point we don't know which way to go, but we can walk on. It's no place to quit. No place to give up. No place to slow down. Just keep walking. Don't have to walk fast, but you can walk and you can gain a lot of ground by walking and persevering with God as our strength, our source of strength. Persecuted, we don't like that. We don't like that. How many likes to be thought well of? Sure, we probably every one of us. We don't be run down. We don't be persecuted. But we're living in a time when Christianity is not a popular thing. Especially if you're a professing Christian. Even not a closet Christian. Amen. I mean, I don't want to be a closet Christian, do you? Amen. I want folks to know that I'm a child of God, and I'm proud of it. I thank God for it. Amen. I owe my life to Him. Amen. We can be persecuted, but not forsaken. How many knows the Bible says, I will not forsake you? Thank God for that. Walk on, child. Walk on. Brother, you don't know how hard it is. Walk on. Brother, you don't know what I've been facing. I may not, but walk on. Come on. I don't ever counsel somebody and tell, well, you got every right to give up. I don't want to tell them that. I may not. I may not can feel your pain. I may not can understand what you're going through. I may not know what God has in store for you, but I believe through the Word of God, He wants us to walk on. In turbulent times, in good times, in troublesome times, in perplexing times, even in these that when there's trouble all around us, to keep walking, walk on for Christ. Don't give up. Don't quit. Continue to walk. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down. Come on, I'm gonna tell you, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes this flesh gets down. Gets frustrating. Surely does. Amen. When we see the things that are facing us, when we experience some of the things. And let me tell you something. Satan's trying to impede your walk in any and every way he possibly can. Throwing every stumbling block in front of you, every chance, every hindrance that he possibly can. But walk on. And can I tell you something else? Didn't have this anywhere in my notes, but sometimes that path is a little treacherous. But walk on. Amen. If you keep your eyes on the Lord and walk on, you can walk around those obstacles. You can walk around those pitfalls. But just because you have those pitfalls and those things that the devil throws in your way is no reason to quit. We cannot quit. We cannot give up. We got to encourage one another. Amen. When a brother or sister calls you and say, I don't know what to do, say, walk on. Walk on. Walk on, sister. Walk on, brother. Amen. The best is yet to come. Glory to God. Amen. I love what the old, and I talk about him so many times. The grandpa that wore overalls was out in farming, you know, and his niece or granddaughter one was talking to him and about how hard life is and all. And he said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "God didn't put me here to live. He put me here to prepare to live." How profound is that? How wonderful is that? Folks, we're preparing to live. Let me tell you, one of these days, trouble's going to be over. One of these days, there'll be no more pitfalls. What about a place where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more agony, no more frustration, and thank God, no more death. What a wonderful place. This is not that life, but God has prepared a place, amen, that we can have to go to. And if I could tell you anything today, don't give up. Walk on. Walk on toward that reward. Walk on toward that wonderful crown that God Himself will give to us. We're a place there's no tears, no problems. Walk on. Hallelujah. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walking in Him. Let this Spirit that was in Him be in you. You see, the greatest example that we have to follow is not necessarily the disciples, although they were good examples. Not necessarily the patriarchs of the Old Testament, although they were true to God. But the greatest example that you and I as Christians have is to exemplify our life as Christ lived His life on this earth. And only 33 and a half years. Only ministered for like 3.5 years, according to Jewish custom. He could have, had He wanted to. When He was nailing, and this has been such a realization to me lately. We talked about many songs depict the cruelty and the horrific pain and agony that Christ went through. And it was. It's not like the pretty little painting that you see. I imagine there was a lot of blood. I imagine there was a lot of pain as they nailed Christ to the cross. And we talk about that and we thank the Lord for His sacrifice. But lately, the Spirit of God has been kind of blessing me, and this may not apply to anybody else, but
not only was that Jesus nailed to the cross, but my sins were nailed to that cross. Can anybody identify with that? As horrific and agonizing and disastrous situation that was that Jesus endured on the cross, it was me that put him there. It was our sins that put him there. We feel so bad about him dying on the cross, but how thankful we should be that when he died, when that blood poured, my sins were nailed to that cross. And I came to an altar of repentance. And I tell so many people, what really got me true to repentance was the night that I pictured Christ on the cross for me. I pictured him visually as I was praying in the altar. And there was an overwhelming spirit that came upon me as he lifted my sins. And he forgave me of all of my sins and iniquities, and he washed me in the blood, amen, that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Why would I not want to walk on? Why would I not want to endure? He walked on. He walked on up the lonely hill of Golgotha, carrying our cross to give us redemption of sins. And even after he was nailed to the cross, he could have called angels from heaven to come deliver him. But if he had, then our sins would have been on us. He took our sins. He walked to the top of the hill of Golgotha. He walked to his destiny. He walked to the place, amen, that should have been us. But he gave it, his life and his blood for us. Cannot we walk for him? He's not asking us to die on the cross. He's not asking us really to do any great sacrifice. The word says obedience is better than the sacrifice. If we can obey God. We learned this week about obedience. Many, many times we talk about faith and all of these things and disobedience. But, you know, the lack of faith is what causes disobedience. Amen. We need to be faithful to Christ. As he was faithful to his destiny, he walked on. He continued. Are we walking on for the Lord? Have we decided just to sit down and rest? Wait on the Lord to come. That's not what he saved us for. That's not what he forgave us for. That's not what he instilled his Spirit and his Word within us. Amen. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. You've always got that Comforter with you. Through whatever you endure, through whatever pain, through whatever sickness, whatever affliction may arise in your life, whether it be physical, spiritual, or emotional, we have that friend in Jesus that walks with us. I remember when I was just a little child, way before adolescence, and I was outside swinging, and I heard something. I came in, and my grandmother was there, and I was a little bit alarmed. She said, "You don't have to be afraid." She said, "Jesus is with you everywhere you go. He's standing right behind you." So I would go out and I would take a few steps and I'd turn around to see if Jesus was there. And I couldn't see him. And then I was swinging one day, and as I was swinging, I saw the shadow, my shadow. So I thought, if I can see my shadow, I will be able to see Jesus' shadow. This is a 5 or 6 year old kid, you know, trying to have the concept that Jesus was with me. But I now know what she was talking about. I don't have to see a shadow to know he's with me. I don't have to turn around and look and see that he is with me. Everywhere I go. every turn I make. Every time I close my eyes and it's sleeping, He is with me. Thank God. Every time I walk into the doctor's office, He is with me. Amen. Every time I face a consequence, He is with me. He never lets me down. He is with me wherever I go. I'm any thankful for that this morning, that Christ still walks with us if we walk on for Him. Walk on, saints. Walk on. It's not always going to be easy. I'm not here to paint a pretty picture of that. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes it's going to be very difficult. Decisions have to be made. Directions have to be prayed about. But know that you're never alone. There's always the Comforter that is with us. How many is thankful for that Comforter? Amen. And you know, somebody once thought that Comforter is just to make us comfortable. No, it's a help. It's a help. You're not always going to be comfortable in your flesh, but I will assure you, your spirit will be comforted. Amen. By that relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Do you really know Him? Do you know about Him? Do you know who He was? Do you know what He did? Do you know what He can do? Have you made Him Lord of your life? Amen. Have you made Him Savior? Have you invited Him in? He will not knock your door down and bust His way in. He has to come invited. Have you invited? Maybe that's the reason you're having trouble continuing. Maybe that's the reason you can't really walk on, because all of these problems just kind of throw you backwards, and maybe you're not making any progress at all. Maybe you have not relinquished your spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into your life. If that's the case, you can go home today a very different person than you came. Amen. How many knows He's still in the saving business? Thank God He's still in the saving business. Glory to God. He's still here. All He needs is for you to repent and come and open up your heart's door. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you can't remember anything, nothing made an impact on your spirit this morning that I preached, understand that we have to continue in our service to the Lord. He does not understand covenant breaking because He cannot lie. And when we make a commitment to Christ, He expects us to keep that commitment and to keep that promise as He keeps His promise and commitments to us. So when He saves us and when He fills us with His Spirit, He does not do that just for us to sit down by the wayside and wait on His appearing, but to continue to walk for Him every day. Continue to walk. Understand, it's not the one who runs, but it's the one who continues. With every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying, if you have a need today, if you don't know Christ, if you want a refreshing, if you want to rededicate your life, whatever your situation is, if you feel the need to come to this altar, I will assure you the elders will pray with you. I will pray with you, because we want to continue. There is not a person that I know of anywhere that I don't want to see go to heaven. I want everybody in this congregation, everybody that we ever come in contact with, and that free gift that Jesus Christ has given us is for our receiving. Is there one this morning? While your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, if you have a need, lift your hand and this pastor will be praying with you and for you this week. God bless those hands. We love you dearly. We appreciate each and every one of you coming this morning. May God be with you and bless you. Have a wonderful day. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us.